May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So in the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play what they thought was a routine baseball game. What happened that day was anything but routine. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with the Boston third baseman. Within minutes, all the players from both teams had joined in the brawl. The warfare quickly spread to the grandstands. Among the fans, the conflict went from bad to worse. Someone set fire to the stands and the entire ballpark burned to the ground. Not only that, but the fire spread to 107 other Boston buildings as well. Just a baseball game. Anger is an ugly emotion. It is explosive. It can burn down people, relationships, businesses, families, nations, everything. Anger has a way of escalating out of control to horrid destruction. Getting angry can sometimes be like leaping into a wonderfully responsive sports car, gunning the motor, taking off at a high speed, and then discovering the brakes are out of order. The result of momentary gratification with long-term negative effects. I like what Frederick Buechner says in his book, Wishful Thinking Transformed by Thorns. He says, of the seven deadly sins, anger is probably the most fun. He argues that anger at first offers momentary satisfaction, and then he describes it as a feast fit for a king. So wonderful is anger at the beginning of the process. But he adds, the chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down in anger is yourself. At this feast fit for kings, the skeleton at the feast is you. In the end, anger destroys the angry. The devouring, devastating effect of anger touches on why Jesus places comments about anger at the beginning of the greatest sermon ever preached. Maybe you've never thought about that. Preachers do. Jesus puts this topic in front of all other topics in the greatest of all the sermons ever preached. It's a sermon about the righteousness of God, which is where our gospel reading begins today from St. Matthew 5. And our Lord states that like everything, either good or bad, the Lord takes it to the heart. Evil starts in the heart. Thus Jesus tells us in our passage today, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever calls his brother a name is guilty before the court. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar and remember your brother as something against you, go and be reconciled. Jesus says that angry words are guilty of punishment because of what they reflect about the heart. As he would say later, what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. It's not what goes into your mouth that kills you, it's what comes out of it because of what's in the heart. Jesus wants us to have, in other words, a much deeper view of righteousness than the current religious teachers of his day. The Pharisees, they talked about superficial issues of righteousness. Christ literally went right to the heart. He wants us to prevent anger from taking any expression, even in words. And then if it does, he says, you need to be reconciled. Because anger escalates and needs to be checked in the heart. Ultimately, it's going to destroy your life. Jesus, eternity, if you think about it, Eternity starts in the heart. There's a powerful biblical illustration of sin beginning in the heart. We should not forget that the first emotion expressed after the fall of humanity is anger. Perhaps you remember that story early in Genesis. Two brothers named Cain and Abel were destroyed by one brother's animosity. As it turns out, Abel tended to the livestock. Cain was a tiller of the ground. When it came time to offer a portion of what God had blessed, God preferred Abel's blood sacrifice to Cain's grain offering. Reason is, a blood sacrifice became better than any other when humanity chose to sin. But as a result, death was required to atone for the death that sin released into the world. Importantly, the situation necessitating a blood sacrifice was not brought about by God. It was humanity's wrong choice. Death was the penalty, and therefore blood sacrifice was the only way for atonement. Both boys knew it. Cain and Abel's parents had sinned, became naked and ashamed, and God slew animals to cover or atone for them. And so human sin set the context for the requirement of Abel's sacrifice. The book of Hebrews states, he brought his bloody offering by faith, and Cain did not. And therefore, Abel's sacrifice was better. God made his preference known. God simply told Cain that he accepted Abel's sacrifice. God chose Abel's sacrifice over Cain's precisely because humans chose sin over the Lord. Even then, Cain didn't have to become angry. He could have submitted to the Lord. He didn't have to become crestfallen. The Lord, after all, didn't cast him away. Cain still had a moment of time before he let his feelings escalate. Cain had a choice, in other words, because anger is always a choice. He could accept God's will, or he could fight it and oppose the Lord. Cain could have even sold or bartered some of his grain to secure a blood sacrifice, if you think about it. Instead, Cain became embittered. And bitterness goes nowhere but in the wrong direction, because it goes into anger. That can escalate into hate. And hate leads to murder. Cain should have arrested his anger and brought it under control. Jesus' wisdom is to stop a sin before it ever becomes a sin. Especially when it comes to our service to God. Anger and religion are a horrible combination. And they're so deceptive. Because people who think they're righteous will justify anger. That anger sin. Even though they might be doing the right thing, the anger in the heart is wrong. No matter how bad, we should not let anger become our motivating emotion. I should say, no matter how right we think we are, anger is not a justifiable emotion. There is, in every occasion to become angry, a moment when a person can pull back, take a deep breath, and stay calm, but it's always a choice to do so. Why? Well, we let our anger run out too far, usually, and that hurts people. According to Jesus, it's still not too late to pull up short and prevent it from hurting someone further. What Jesus really wants is for us to live out of another emotion, which is why these proverbs appear at this time in the church here. Christ calls us to live out of the emotion of love. Everything we do. The beginning of the season of Trinity, it's all about how much God loves us. Now the shift, the pivot, is to how we should love God and our neighbors and everything out of that emotion. Thus our collect for the day prays for precisely this. Here are the words. pour into our hearts such love of thee that we, loving thee above all things, may obtain thy promises. That's how we get the promises of God. It's through love. Loving him, loving his people. So let us be reminded in the words of Buchner that the skeleton at the feast of anger is always the one devoured by his or her own evil passion of anger. God, help us to love him, our neighbor, our family, our friends enough not to be angry. And even if we do become estranged, the final words of Christ in this section, be reconciled and make friends quickly. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give."